You may be seated in the house of the Lord.
Amen. That verse was Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into, somebody say into, the house of the Lord. How many know we thank God we're not outside the house of the Lord? Amen. It's no good if you just drive up to the parking lot. Come on, somebody. Amen. But how many know we got to come in? Huh? Somebody tell you ever come in.
Come in.
And then we got to come in and enjoy God's presence. Amen. Tonight, amen, this message I want to share with you, amen, it has to do with the topic of church discipline. You know, there's what you call spiritual disciplines for the Christian. And there's a lot of great books on the spiritual disciplines. And basically the spiritual disciplines for the Christian are things like prayer, worship, devotion, the study of God's word, fasting. Yes. Come on, somebody. How many know we got to fast?
Hello.
You fast, you last. You pray, you stay. You fast, you last.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. I know to some, amen, fasting is a four-letter word. Excuse me, it is. Amen. F-A-S-T, that's four. Amen. But it's a good word. But all these are parts, are topics of spiritual disciplines for the Christian. And all these put together help us to stay strong as a Christian.
Right.
And those are called our spiritual disciplines. Matter of fact, Vetti, there's a lesson, there's a course in Vetti that's called the spiritual disciplines. But there's also with some people or some theologians and pastors and Bible teachers, they also write on what we call the church disciplines. Right. Now, some write it in the aspect of giving church discipline, like kind of like what we do in the home sometimes, in the home with the men in the recovery home and the women in the recovery home. Sometimes they get on discipline because it's a program. And I was on discipline. I was in the home myself. And so if you're on discipline right now, guys, it's okay. Amen. Your pastor was on discipline also. Amen. But I still made it. Come on, somebody. Amen. You'll make it. Amen. Just write Proverbs 3:5. Amen. And your hand gets tired. Amen. Take a break a little bit. Amen. And keep on writing because you got to turn in your discipline. Amen. And for some of you, like, what is that, your discipline? Well, in the home, sometimes we have rules. And when somebody breaks one of the rules, they get put on discipline. Right. You know, because I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, you just can't do Victory Irish people. You just can't give Victory Irish people a slap on the wrist or a slap on the hand. Amen. You know, we didn't even lift them when they paddled us with the paddle on the butt. Come on, somebody. I mean, remember the paddle in high school. Amen. Or some of you at home. Come on now. Amen. Some of you didn't have the paddle. You had the chancla. You had the switch. Come on, somebody. Amen. And you know, and so, you know, in the home, you know, we don't have a paddle, amen. We don't do that because then we wouldn't have no home, amen. But we do give discipline sometimes when they break a rule. And what we do is usually what we teach the directors to do is we teach them to give them discipline according to God's word.
Yeah.
So the discipline has to be according to their conduct. So if somebody disobeys one of the rules, a lot of times they get Proverbs 3:5. That's what we call, you know, you 3-5'd it. You hear that lingo in Victory Outreach, brother, 3-5, amen, you 3-5'd it, you know, you leaned on your own understanding, you know, and a lot of times they'll get that scripture because they maybe disobeyed a rule, and so they'll have to write Proverbs 3:5 50 times, 100 times. If they really did something bad, then maybe the director will slap them with 500 times. Come on, somebody. Amen. How many ever wrote sentences at school? Remember, you had to stay after school. Come on now. I'm amongst good company. Amen. I know my congregation. Amen. The teacher had you right there after school. Little Johnny on the chalkboard. Come on, somebody. I will not throw, you know, trash at the teacher. Come on, somebody. Amen. I will not talk during the teacher's talking. You know, 50 times on chalkboard. Well, it's kind of something like that, amen. So that's what you call, you know, that's not the type of discipline, you know, that we talk about in church discipline, or what this is, what we're talking about tonight. What we're talking about tonight, why I go to church, is the discipline of going to church.
Yes.
That going to church is a discipline. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on now, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because how many know it takes discipline, amen, to go to church every Sunday,
right,
every Friday,
right,
to go to Bible study every Wednesday. Come on, somebody. Well, at least here we go 6 weeks on, right? And then 3 weeks off or 2 weeks off. But it takes discipline. Amen. It takes discipline to come to church on Fridays and Sundays and to be faithful to God. We can understand, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're like, you know, you're hacking up loogies and, you know, you got a cold and you're dying. We understand. Amen. You know, you're watching on Facebook Live because you're sick or something and you're in the, that's fine. We understand that. But if you are able-bodied and well and you can make it to the house of God and nothing wrong with you, amen, then, you know, then how many know it takes discipline to come? Because on Sunday mornings, the pillow monster wants to get to us. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. There, many Christians, they have a battle with the pillow monster every Sunday. That's probably why you didn't make it last Sunday. Oh, I better behave tonight. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Right? You know, the pillow monster, you know, it's, you know, Friday night is like, yeah, I'll go to Friday night because I ain't got to get up early. Come on, somebody. I just woke up at 4 o'clock. Huh? Come on, how many know we were night owls back in, you know, in our BC days? Amen. We, you know, we stayed woke all night and, you know, didn't get up to 3-4. Come on, somebody, 3-4 in the afternoon. That was me. Amen. Hello. Stayed up all night and slept all the way to 3 o'clock and then got up. Took me 2 hours to iron my dickies. Come on, somebody. Hello. And then back out. Amen. 5-6 o'clock, back out doing my thing. Amen. And so for some, this is why it's good to have a Friday night service, an evening service. This is why we have evening service, Friday night, Sunday night, because we know our target people. We know that our people, you know, the people that God has called us to reach, the church out of darkness, sometimes they don't get up early in the morning. Come on, somebody. Not unless they've been up all night tweaking or twerking or working. And I'm not talking about a legal job. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? You know, and so we provide an evening service so that people can have an opportunity to come on a Friday night, that they can't get up Sunday morning, you know, but after they get saved, how many know we teach them the discipline of coming to church? We teach them the discipline of not staying out partying all night. I'm partying at all. Come on, somebody. Huh? But we teach them the discipline. And tonight, this topic of why go to church is part of, you know, one of the church disciplines. That the church as a whole, we need to be a disciplined people, a disciplined congregation to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. And tonight we're going to learn the importance of why it's important to come to God's house. And so a few weeks ago, I love to go to the bookstore, and I was at the bookstore and I bought me a few books, and I bought a book on church discipline. And so I got a lot of great notes, amen, from this book. And I want to share with you, amen, I forget the author's name, amen. It's a book on church discipline. There's a lot of them out there. If you want to know more about that, you can, you know, Google it. You can go to, I want to suggest Googling it, but I would suggest you go to the bookstore and find a good book, amen. But tonight, amen, I want to talk to you about why go to church. Now, why in the first place should you pay attention, since it's obvious that you're in church today? I'm going to give you a few reasons. First, if God has spoken in the Bible about going to church, then his word on this matter deserves to be preached. All right. And it deserves for the church to listen reverently and with respect. Amen. Secondly, those of us who come to church, we need to evaluate our motive in coming to church.
That's right.
Are we coming to church for the right reasons? Or are we coming to church just because of a habit? See, sometimes we got to be careful, because as churchgoers or church people, as Christians, we can begin to come to church just out of habit. Now, that is a good habit to have. Come on, how many know we used to have some bad habits? Amen. We had a lot of bad habits before, in our BC days, before Christ. You know, we had smoking habits. We had drinking habits. We had, you know, a lot of bad habits. Coming to church is a good habit, but that should not be the only reason. Just because it becomes a habit, we have to understand the biblical reasons. Do you know the biblical reasons? Have you heard the biblical reasons based on scripture on why it's important to come to church? Then also, it's important that that church attendance may be settled. It's another reason why it's important that we hear about going to church is because as an adult, you might understand why it's important to go to church. But what about your children? Come on, somebody. How many got teenagers? Wave at me. So I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Pray for myself. Amen. Well, mine are coming out of teenagers, and then I got some coming later on. Come on, somebody. But you may understand why it's important to come to church, but sometimes our children don't capisce. They don't comprehend. It doesn't register up here. Come on, somebody. You know? And sometimes even easy, not only our teenagers, but our children. And so to be able to hear a message, and I hope that tonight you take good notes. Because this is something that you could put in your shepherd's bag. This is something that you can use, amen, if you take good notes. Because there might be a day that your children are going to ask you the question, why do I got to go to church? Come on, somebody. Maybe they've already asked that question. Dad, Mom, we go to church, but why do we go to church? So what you learn today can be useful in talking to your children about why we go to church. Then also the importance of listening to this message is because some who may be listening to this message here today, maybe through YouTube or through Podbean or through Facebook Live, some of them only attend church occasionally. One survey conducted showed that out of every 8 professing Christians, one of them doesn't go to church. Out of every 8 professing Christians, one of them does not go to church. So anyone who claims to follow Jesus but seldom or often ever come to church, if ever, they need to be challenged. You might be here today and you might be even, you know, you might feel like stop going to church. You might be here today and you feel like you don't want to come to church no more. Well, you need to hear what the Bible says about church attendance.
Amen, buddy.
Huh?
Amen.
There might be somebody here today, they might be thinking of giving up on going to church. You need to be challenged through scripture on why it's important to come to the house of God.
Good.
Now, if you ask people that don't go to church, why they don't go to church, you know, usually you'll get some answers that kind of sound like this. Some people say they don't go to church because they're turned off by the church because they say all the church wants is my money.
Hello.
Then there's other people that say because church is boring. How many know not this church?
Hello.
I don't understand that because I've been saved for 18 years. And these have been the most exciting years of my life.
Amen.
And listen, I was an exciting person. Like, you know, I love to get in high-speed chases. I love to run from the cops. And I mean, I consider myself being an exciting person. And for me to come to church and for the church to capture my attention, because I'm going to know we're always doing something in Victory Outreach.
Huh?
So church is not boring. But that's an excuse they make. People say that I don't like to go to church because church is boring. Some say that the sermons are irrelevant to my life. You know, the sermon doesn't really connect with me. Then also some refuse to go because they leave feeling guilty. Some people don't like to come to church because every time they leave, they feel guilty. It's not that they feel guilty, it's that they've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Huh? And then some people, they don't come to church on Sunday is because Sunday is their only day off and they want to spend it doing other things. But how many know Sunday is the Lord's day?
Right.
Come on, somebody. It's the Lord's day and we should consecrate it to the Lord. Some people, they don't come to church because Sunday is their only day off. You know, it's their only day off. And then some people don't go to church because of bad past experiences. They've had bad past experience in the church down the streets. Or even in this church. Come on, somebody. We're not a perfect church. Amen. I don't want to be a perfect church. Come on, somebody. I want to be a church that needs the grace of God up in this place. Come on, somebody. Because if we're a perfect church, that means God wouldn't give us no grace.
That's right.
But how many know we need the grace of God?
Amen.
And so some people, a lot of people don't go to church because of bad past experiences. And then many people say they don't go to church because they have not been invited. And they would feel uncomfortable going by themselves.
Right.
Now that should challenge us to invite people.
Amen.
They say that most people do not come to church because they have never been invited.
Wow.
How many of you know that we as a church should always be busy inviting people to the house of God?
Yeah.
Huh? I tell you all the time, get people to the house of God. You know, I don't care how you do it. Tie them up, throw them in your trunk, but get them to the house of God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't throw them in the trunk. Amen. Don't catch a case. Amen. I'm just kidding. Huh? And then some people don't go to church because they feel that the people in the church are going to look down on their lifestyle. They feel like their lifestyle doesn't measure up to churchgoers or to Christians. I mean, no, we got to be a welcoming church.
Yeah, right.
I say this, come as you are, leave changed.
Because
how many know God loves you too much to leave you the same?
Yes.
Because a lot of times the mess that we're in is because of the situation of what we put ourselves through. So God has to change us. And then many feel that the church has nothing to offer them. Some people say they're just not interested in religion. But the most common reason why people don't come to church is because they say there just isn't enough time. How many know we got to make time? So tonight, I want to give you 12 biblical reasons for going to church. And I'm going to try to go through them. If I can't go through them, I'll finish them Sunday morning. But tonight I want to give you 12 biblical reasons for going to church. How many know that we base everything on Scripture?
Right.
Huh? It's everything got to be based on Scripture. I want you to turn your Bibles, or they can put it on the screen, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. This is going to be the main basis of Scripture that we're going to be coming out of here tonight. The first reason, the first biblical reason for going to church is because going to church is a biblical requirement for all Christians. Let me say that one more time. Going to church is a biblical requirement for all Christians. Are you a Christian here today?
Amen.
Wave at me if you're a Christian. Then you're required to come to the house of God. And why? Because the Bible tells me so.
Right.
Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
Right.
Not giving up meeting together,
right,
as some are in the habit of doing.
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't I say going to church is a good habit?
Yeah.
Here, the writer of Hebrews is saying missing church is a bad habit.
Come on.
And it finishes on by saying, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus' return. That's why the word day is capitalized. Because the day when Jesus returns is going to be the biggest day of all.
Right.
I said the day Jesus returns is going to be the biggest day of all. And so therefore the writer of Hebrews capitalized the D in day, because that's going to be the biggest day. And he is saying in order to prepare for that day, you can't miss Sunday.
Hello.
Or Friday. Come on, somebody. Huh? A major survey said that 47% of Americans agree that the Bible does not command people to attend a church. That they say that is a man-made requirement. But I'm here to tell you that nothing can be farther from the truth, my friend. The Bible is very clear and very plain in this verse, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. This verse plainly tells us believers not to forsake the regular assembly of Christians.
Amen.
That we as believers are not to forsake the assembly of the church together, but rather we are to go to church.
Right.
The writer of Hebrews, he knew what these Jewish Christians were facing. You know what these Jewish Christians were facing at that time? For them to go to church meant that they could be imprisoned. It meant that they could be, their possessions could be taken from them. Their land could be taken to them. It was a crime for them to be a Christian. It was a crime for them to go to church. But yet the writer of here, Hebrews, says, even though through all that drama and all that mess and all that evil that you're facing, still go to church. He encouraged them to still go to church. But nowadays, we don't want to go to church because it's too hot. Because it's cloudy outside. Because it's rainy outside. Some people wake up Sunday morning, and if it's raining, that's an automatic excuse on why you didn't come to church. Oh, come on, somebody. See, but in this day, these Jewish Christians, they were facing persecution. They were facing all types of imprisonment and sometimes even death. But the writer of Hebrews, he understood that more important than being imprisoned and persecuted, more important than that is the loss that the individual Christian would suffer if they neglected going to church. Because they would not get to benefit from the gathering of the faithful believers on the Lord's day. There is a blessing when we come to church.
Right, man.
I don't know about you, but I get blessed when I come to the house of God.
Man.
I get blessed through the worship.
Yes.
I get blessed through the hour of power before service.
Man.
How many get blessed through that hour of power? I get blessed when I give. Come on, somebody.
Right.
I get blessed when I see your handsome, beautiful face.
Hello.
Come on, somebody. We get blessed. Amen. It is a blessing to come to the house of God.
Amen.
And so here, this point right here, this really is the only point we need on why we should go to church.
Come on, somebody.
Because the Bible tells us so. Going to church is a biblical requirement according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. It is a biblical requirement, and this should be the only point that we need, but I still got 11 more. Ultimately, whether or not you go to church is a question of whether you will obey God and submit to the authority of His word. Do you consider yourself a Christian that obeys God?
Yes.
Do you consider yourself? Wave at me if you say, I submit myself to God.
Yes.
Wave at me if you say, I submit myself to the word of God.
Yes.
Then we got to be faithful to church.
Yes.
And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Come on, somebody. But this is so that you can go and you have some admonition. Come on, somebody. You have some admonition to those that maybe miss church or to those that don't even go to church. And you're able to share with them that, listen, it is biblical that we should go to the house of the Lord. I rejoice with those who said, let us go into the house of the Lord. To speak of a loving Christ, to speak of loving Jesus while neglecting his body is hypocritical. Oh, I love Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, he's my ace coon boom. Oh, he's my road dog. You better not be calling Jesus a dog.
Hello.
I just did. Forgive me, Lord. Right? Oh, I love Jesus.
Oh, come on.
But you can't even love his body?
Ooh.
Come on, somebody. How many know the church is the body of Christ?
Yeah.
And if we say we love Jesus, and we should love the body of Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
That we should love the body of believers. We should love being in the house of the Lord. That, listen, one individual Christian by himself does not make up the church. The church is when we all come together, my friend. We make up the body of Christ. And if he is the head, come on, somebody, then we are the body. And listen, we are to love on Christ and we are to love on his body. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23, they have the verse, you can see it on the screen. It says this, and God placed all things, somebody say all things, under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. for the church, which is his, what?
Body.
Which is his
body.
Which is his body. Huh? Which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Hmm? So going to church, it's important that we go to church because it's a biblical requirement. Secondly, going to church helps prevent backsliding and apostasy. That's the second reason. Huh? Going to church helps prevent backsliding and apostasy. Huh? The major concern that the writer had, why did he write this? Why was he writing this? You know, he says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Why was he writing that? Because the writer, he was concerned that there were some believers that started missing church, and some of the Hebrews Christians were starting to miss church, and he was concerned that there was going to be a spiritual erosion that was going to take place within those people who got into the habit of neglecting the meetings in the church. He did not want their spiritual life to begin to erode away. He knew that if they continued to stay away from the public worship of God with the people of God, they would end up in spiritual ruin. That's what happens. That's what happens sometimes. If you neglect coming together with the people of God, you got to be careful. Tell your neighbor, be careful. Neglect of church attendance is almost always one of the first outward signs of backsliding. You know a backslider? Come on, somebody. Wave at me if you know a backslider, right? One of the first signs of them backsliding is what? They start missing church. Huh? I mean, before they were there, they were there all the time. Come on, somebody. I mean, they were like, the church. We didn't even unlock the church. They were waiting on the steps.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Nobody was even here. They were in their car with their AC on, just waiting for somebody to pull up. Come on, somebody. Huh? They were there Wednesday, they were there Friday, they were there Sunday. But then all of a sudden something happens. They have a hiccup. And how many know? You know, hiccups happen. Ain't no perfect. We go through our issues. But one of the first signs is that they start to miss church. Huh? And the first step of believers who end up completely apostate is that they stop coming to church. What apostate means is that they disown the faith. They completely walk away from the faith. That's apostate.
That's good.
See, without the encouragement to persevere that comes through public worship and through the preaching of the Word of God and through the fellowship of God's people, there is a much greater tendency to drift spiritually. Huh? How many know that when we come together to... How many know? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get my breakthrough through the worship. Huh? Sometimes I don't know about you, but come on, I don't really consider myself one who thinks about. I don't really think about going back to the world. I've gotten past that. But I remember in the early years of my salvation that would cross my mind. In the early years of my salvation would cross. Today it doesn't really cross my mind because I'm a mature believer. I was like, man, that's crazy. For me to think about going back to the world. It just doesn't even cross my mind now. You know, I got a breakthrough. But at the beginning, I struggled with it. Can I be honest?
Yeah, man.
There were some times where I wanted to give up.
Amen.
I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to wave the white flag. Come on, somebody, huh? I wanted to give up. It was time. But then I would come to worship. I would come to church, and I would listen to the praise and worship. And how many know it was like the worship team was on point that day?
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was that one song. Come on, somebody. I give myself away. I can't take myself back. Come on, somebody. Huh? It's like the worship song convicts you. Huh? And then you're right there and you're all crying and tears and mocos and like, man, I haven't even preached. Whatever, I say I didn't even preach. What's my word? It's because they were thinking about throwing in the towel.
Wow.
But the worship encouraged them. Huh? And see, if you don't come to church, you miss that. That's the mistake that many backsliders make, is when they need to come to church, they don't. But we need to come to church all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Without the encouragement to persevere that comes through public worship, through the preaching of the Word of God,
amen,
and through the fellowship of God's people, there is a greater tendency for people to drift spiritually. Church attendance is not a guarantee against spiritual setbacks.
Wow.
No Christian progresses in faith with perfect consistency. Huh? There is no super Christian. All of us struggle. Come on, somebody. I said us. Amen. We all struggle. Come on, somebody. Huh? We got flaws. Amen. Right? Huh? No Christian progresses in their faith with perfect consistency. But without going to church, backsliding or worse is almost certain. Without going to church, without coming to the house of the Lord and worshiping and hearing the word of God being preached, without coming to church, backsliding or worse. Come on, worse. Didn't Jesus say seven times worse?
Huh?
Seven times worse. It's almost certain. If you can listen to this. If you can miss church and not miss church, something's wrong.
Wow.
If you can miss church and not miss church, something's wrong.
That's right.
Wow. Come on, Pastor. Come on. Good.
Something's wrong with your faith. Something's wrong with your choir.
That's right.
You should miss being in the presence of God.
Right.
Amen.
We got to feel like that deer. As a deer panted for the streams of water, so my soul panted after the presence of God. Huh? I don't know about you, man, but there's something like, man, you know that man. If I don't, I feel a little funny if I'm not in church on Friday nights.
Come on now.
And I'm again. Last week, me and my family, we were on a little break. We took a little staycation, spent some time with family. But even then, it was like, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. We're like, man, it's 7:30. Maybe we should just go to church. Family. So we started playing Monopoly. Amen. And then we got in the flesh. They got in the flesh. Started playing Monopoly. But I miss church. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? I miss, even if I'm preaching somebody else in somebody else's church, I miss you guys. Come on, somebody. Huh? You know, they have worship and they have the word, but there's nothing like family. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Good. Thank you.
Thirdly, going to church brings spiritual fellowship and encouragement.
Amen.
This is biblical. Going to church brings spiritual fellowship and encouragement. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Let's read that verse there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And to the fellowship.
Right.
To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Some of us like that part.
Hello.
Just stay right there, breaking the bread, Pastor. We can do that after service. Come on, somebody. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day.
Come on.
Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Wow.
I don't want to hear your complaints about too many services. Come on, somebody. We even smoothed gang night to Sunday night now. So now you got like, we're Tuesday free a little bit. Amen. You know, Pastor's crazy. We call rallies.
That's right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I know my people, man. We can't just let you, you know, just not have anything to do. Come on, somebody. Huh? We have to put something in its place. But listen, the book of Acts, they met every day.
Hello.
They met every day. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And you know, the beautiful thing about it is that the Lord added to their number daily.
Wow.
It makes me want to try it. Come on, somebody. Huh? Maybe if we just have church every day, the Lord will add to the church day. Come on, somebody. Huh? I'm going to wear a biblical church.
Yeah.
Huh? This here portion of scripture is a brief summary of the regular daily activities of the first church. And it tells us that one of the four main characteristics of the early church was fellowship. Somebody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
My pastor preached a message one time, and he said this. He preached a message entitled, Are you fellowshipping or fellow lipping? Oh, hello, somebody. I mean, you know, sometimes people get together and it's not a fellowship, it's a fellow lip. And there's just a lot of gossip. That's a different type of preaching right there. That's a whole other topic right there. But how many know we should get together in fellowship? Huh? In Hebrews 10:25, the contrast to giving up meeting together is, but let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another. So we see that coming to church is biblical because it provides fellowship and also it provides encouragement. The writer of Hebrews says, and let us not only fellowship, but let us encourage one another. See, listen to me, church. No Christian can survive without these two nourishments of fellowship and encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? If sometimes you find yourself struggling as a Christian, check your fellowship and check your encouragement.
That's right.
Huh? Check the fellowship, because it's at the fellowship where you can get encouragement.
Amen.
I know you can encourage yourself in the Lord, but there's nothing like somebody else encouraging you.
Right.
There's nothing like encouragement and fellowship that comes from the local church family. See, fellowship is more than socializing. Right. Any two people can socialize, but only Christians can fellowship.
Wow.
Fellowship involves the sharing of the Christian life with other fellow Christians. It's talking about the things of God with each other, telling each other how the Spirit of God is moving in our lives, serving the Lord and His people together, worshiping and praying together as one people, extending the love of God and receiving the love of God from each other. That's fellowship. Fellowship is a powerful thing. Fellowship is where you can give love, where you can receive love. Fellowship is where you can share with somebody. Man, God came through. Man, I was praying this morning and God spoke to me. Man, and then you're like, really? Is that what God said to you? Listen to what He said to me. Listen how God came through for me. And all of a sudden, the person hearing that says, man, if God did it for you, then surely He'll do it for me. And you find that encouragement within the body of Christ. You can't do that hanging around the break room with all the sinners. You can't receive that, come on, somebody, with non-believers. You only receive that within the fellowship of the body of Christ. And guess what? You can isolate yourself just with a few believers, but I don't know about you. I need the most encouragement. I need all the encouragement I can get. So let me go to the place where there's more believers, the church of God, where there's more believers that I can hear the encouragement come from this angle and that angle. And I get the fact this brother don't feel like fellowshipping, then this brother does feel like fellowshipping. If this sister don't want to go get some tacos, then maybe this sister will invite me to taco.
Well, come on.
The best way for this to happen is through involvement within a church family. When we go to church, we can receive encouragement through the preaching and through the teaching of God's word. We can be encouraged by other believers who are going through hard times, yet they're persevering.
Amen.
You can say, if they can do it, so can I.
Right.
Even by other believers that are going through the same trials and temptations that you're going through, but yet they stay faithful.
Yes.
That's encouragement. It encourages me when I see people that are going through it, but yet they still come to church.
Huh? Come on.
that's an encouragement. When I see people, they may be sick in their body, they may have a terminal illness, they may be suffering within, but yet they still come to the house of the Lord. Their marriage is going through it, they're going through it financially, but they're still giving, they're still worshiping God. I look at that and I say, that's a little Job right there. I say, that's Brother Job right there. That's Sister Job right there. And I say, my God, if they're going through what they're going through, yet they're sticking it out in their faith, then I can stick it out in my faith. And if something, Lord forbid, it ever happened to me, at least I have an example through that sister and through that brother that God brought them through it. And they came out on the other side still shining for Jesus. That's an encouragement to our lives. You know, for a child to be emotionally healthy, he or she needs the socialization and encouragement a family provides. For a Christian to be healthy, they need the fellowship and the encouragement of the church family.
Amen.
We need each other. We need that fellowship. We need that encouragement. The fourth biblical reason on why go to church is going to church expresses obedience to the greatest commandment.
Oh, come on.
What is the greatest commandment? Who knows the greatest commandment? That's right. Who knows where it's at? Mark 12:28-30. Mark 12:28. You can turn there. Mark 12:28-30. They can put it on the screen. This is the greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Yes. Right.
How can we believe we're trying to fulfill the greatest of all commandments? And how can we say we want to love the Lord our God with all that we are if we won't even obey his command to meet regularly with other Christians? We can't say we love him with everything if we can't get out of bed to go to church. Is God your greatest love?
Amen.
Is God your highest priority?
Amen.
Then going to church is one way of demonstrating that. If you're quick to miss church and the worship of God for work or attend sports events, even if it's your own children playing, it may indicate to family, friends, and others that God really is not your first love. Or it may indicate that you're willing to let those who do not love God or care about kingdom activities determine your priorities, set your schedule, and keep you from the worship and work of God. That's the signal. You sin. That's the signal. We sinned.
True, right.
When we choose other things rather than the worship of God. Rather than the fellowship of being in the presence of God. Huh? Come on, somebody.
Come on.
We should go to church because we love God more than anyone or anything else. Huh? How many love God more than anything and anyone else?
Man.
And if you don't, you gotta love God. This is what's kept me all these years, for 18 years, is that I developed a love for God. Listen, I want to show my wife that I love God more than her. I want to show my children that I love God more than them. Why? Because when they grow up, I want them to love God more than anything else in this world, more than any other person, because if they can love God more than anybody else, they will know how to love their wife. They will know how to love their children. But when we put our wife and our children and our husbands before God, then listen, we're going the wrong way. We don't have our priorities straight. We got to know it's God first, my friend. It's God first, my friend. Then it's my wife. Then it's my children. And then, my friend, it's the ministry, my friend. But it's God first. And God commanded, as God says, do not neglect.
Right.
The meeting in my house.
That's right.
Do not neglect the meeting in my house. If you love God, what did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Right.
Are you learning anything tonight?
Yeah.
Wow. Fifthly, going to church follows Jesus' example. I'm going to give you this one and another one, part two on Sunday. Fifthly, going to church follows Jesus' example. Luke 4:16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. As was his custom. In other words, as was his habit. As was his habit. He was in the habit of going to the synagogue to worship God. So do you want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
We should, right? Jesus was participating in the Jewish custom and the Jewish custom of worshiping God. It was the way God had ordained worship at that time. The principle remains the same today. If we are to be like Jesus, then like him, we will attend the public worship of God as ordained by God for our day and time.
Amen.
For our day and time. And today God has ordained the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Sunday. Why is it the Lord's Day? Because Jesus resurrected on Sunday.
Amen.
He resurrected on the first day. And he chose in the New Testament, he chose instead of making the last day his day, he chose to make the first day his day.
Amen.
Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Huh? Jesus here, you know, he was participating in the custom of going to church. Many people say they can't go to church because they have so much to do and they don't have time. But guess what? I got a lot to do too. And I'm guessing you got a lot to do too. Don't you got a lot to do? I mean, you probably got a million things to do. I got a million things to do. But think about Jesus. Think about all the things he had to do. All the people he had to heal. All the miracles he had to do. All the preachings he had to preach. All the teachings he had to teach. The disciples he had to train to be the future leaders that would trailblaze the church.
Amen.
That would carry on the mission and the vision. Imagine how busy he was, but yet he still made time to make it a custom to go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And so should we. If Jesus believed that participating in public worship was important, so should we. The sixth one, the piano player can come up. Going to church, and this is a good one, going to church is a testimony of support for God's work in the world. Going to church is a testimony of support. Do you support God's work?
Amen.
Going to church is a testimony of support for God's work in the world. When you come to church, what you're saying is, I support the work of God.
Amen.
Yes, by giving your tithes and offerings, you support the work of God, but that's not it. It's also by being here. You're showing that you support the work of God.
Amen.
This scripture here, Matthew 12, verse 30. This is to the scripture. It says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Are you with Christ or against him? Are you gathering people into his family, the church, or are you scattering people from him? Either you're a gatherer or you're a scatterer. There's only two options. The work of the church is to gather. Going to church testifies that you support such work. When you stay away, not only do you fail to support the work of gathering, you actually work against it like a scatterer. You know, you have to think like this. If you miss church, you know what that means? That means there's going to be an empty seat. And if you have your whole family, that means there's going to be an empty row.
Wow.
And you know what happens? You may say, well, I'll just miss this Sunday. You know, they won't miss me. No, the question is, will you miss us?
Wow.
And what happens is that, you know, whenever you come to church or whenever you miss church, that means there's an empty seat or there's an empty row. And you know what happens? Other people come to church and they see the church empty. Because not only did you think that thought, that was by the devil, hello somebody, but so did five other families. Maybe 10 families. Then guess what? Only the faithful few are here. And then the church looks empty. The church looks empty. And the new, and on that day, the new person decides to come to church. But they come to an empty nest. They come to an empty church. And the preaching's great, the worship is great, the faithful are great. But they look around in the seats and they start to speak to themselves. This church must not be a good church. It must be boring here. It's not worth my time. And people think like it's a psychological thing. And people think like that. Huh? But when they come and they see a full church. When they come and they see a full church, they look around, there's new people. They say, man, it must be happening here every Sunday. It must be happening here every Friday. It must be happening here. Man, this must be happening. Man, I got to be here. And you help do that being a gatherer. Because then they say, you know what? I'm going to make this my church. You know what, man? I'm going to keep coming right here. Because they see it's on and popping right here. Come on, you remember when you used to go to the club? Come on, somebody. Did you go to the empty club? Huh? Man, you went to the club where they're all, you know, you're bumping into people. And, you know? That's how the altar needs to be. Huh? The altar should be packed. Come on, somebody. People praising the Lord. People worshiping the Lord. But we're not lifting our hands to the devil no more. We're not lifting our hands to Tupac no more. To Snoop Doggy Dog no more. To NWA no more. To Salinas. Oh, that's old school. You don't know the people no more? Well, I don't know the people you know nowadays. I don't know, Jay-Z or Bumby. I don't know who it is. But now you're lifting your hands to God and worshiping God. Huh? At the altar, dancing, spinning. Every time I turn around, the Lord, He's blessing me. You're coming to the presence of God, and the altar's full. And the word, and when the worship team sees the church packed out and see them praising God and see the church worshiping God, it causes their worship to go to another level. It causes them, come on, guys, let's give it to them. Let's usher them into the presence of God. Let's help them get their worship on. All of a sudden, the church is a place to be at. The church is lit.
Yeah.
Oh, you thought I didn't know that one. Gosh, it's lit. Come on, somebody. Huh? Lit on the Holy Ghost. Not on that wacky tobacco. Huh? Not on that flaky stuff. But we're lit on Jesus. Huh? And we help gather the people of God. But when you miss, when you miss church, you gotta understand, you gotta get that in your psyche. Even when the devil tries to hold you back, say, no, man, I remember that message, man. I need to be a gatherer. Come on, somebody, I can't be a scatterer. I need to be a gatherer. I need to be a gatherer in the house of God. Because, man, there's gonna be some new people. You never know, somebody is watching you. Come on, somebody. And if they don't see you in your chair, if they don't see you in the house of God, so, well, what happened? Well, if they can't make it and they brought me in, then what is there hope for me? There's no hope for me. And if they're not here and I haven't seen them here in a whole month, and man, there's no hope for me because I'm still new. And they start to trip. But when you're faithful in the house of God, when you're faithful in the house of God, and you have a testimony similar to theirs,
They look at you and they say, he is life, he is life. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf does not wither, who bring forth his fruit in due season. I see her getting blessed. I see him getting blessed, but because they're faithful in God's house. I see them in faithful in God's house. When hell and high waters come, when the storm hits them, when they're going through a trial, they're still faithful in God's house. We work at gathering. The work of the church is to gather. It's to gather. When you don't go to church, what type of example are you setting to the unchurched or to the non-believer? A bad one. But on the contrary, when you do go and you check in, can you do me a favor? I forgot. Just check in. Go to Facebook. I give you permission. For all you book facers. I mean Facebookers. I mean fake books. I mean. No, we're Facebook. We ain't Facebook. We're Facebook. Just check in. Check in to Victory Church Grandparent. Matter of fact, every time you come, check in. You know why? Because you're letting the world know. You're letting the world know the church is a place to be. This is the place to be. The world has nothing for me. This is the place to be. The world can't hold me. This is the place to be. The devil's not going to drag me. He drugged me before, but he drugs me no more. Because this is the place to be. When they see you check in, when they see you go live, come on somebody. When they see you post, when they see you post and you're in church, you're in the house of God. Huh? You got the looky-loos. You got the looky-loos. You know the looky-loos. Come on somebody. They don't like nothing. Huh? Come on now. Huh? Oh, but you know what you're doing? You're being the salt of the earth. Well, you know what you're doing? You're sparking up their curiosity. That's why we make flyers. We make nice flyers. Man, those are nice flyers. Man, you know, Pastor, man, you probably invest a lot of money. We do.
Yeah.
Huh? We invest a lot of money in our flyers. Because, why? Because we want people to see that flyer and get curious. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I don't even look at our church flyer. It's like, what is it? This is a church? Really? Oh, but look, I checked this church out. Sounds like my party church. Oh, but they come here, they feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, son. We're doing the Holy Post. And every time, listen, you pose, you go live, you show your friends your commitment to Christ. Because they see you every Friday in the house of God. Every Sunday morning in the house of God. And you begin to show them your commitment. And that helps in gathering people to God. It helps in the gathering. The people of God. And they say, you know what they begin to say? They say, you know what, I may not be ready right now. But when I am ready, I'm going to go to my friend's church. I'm going to go to my friend's church. I'm going to go to my homeboy's church.
That's right.
I'm going to go to my homegirl. I've been hearing the preachings and on the download they're hearing the preachings and on the download they're reading your they're reading your messages on Facebook. Preach on Facebook, man. Preach the word of God on there. You know, the world wants to put all their dirty stuff that they're doing. We need to preach on there. You know, do what you can and post when you're at church and check in when you're at church and show people that yes, you're a church goer. Yes, you go to church and you're proud of it. You're a Christian and you're proud of it. It's time for the Christian to come out of the closet. It's time for the church to be unleashed and show them that church is a place to be. These are good reasons on why we should go to church. These are good reasons why we should go. Church has been good to me. I said, church has been, God's been good to me. Huh? God has been good to me. The head has been good to me. Oh, but I found me a piece of the body. I found me a rib. Huh? barbecue sauce. It wasn't that regular barbecue sauce. It was that spicy barbecue. Church been good to me. Church been good to me. Look around. Look at this church. I got a bunch of friends and family. You guys are my family. Tomorrow I'm going to a family reunion. The Segoviano, the fourth annual Segoviano family reunion. Mira. Look how far we've come. We think we're all fancy now. Fourth annual Segoviano family reunion. I love my family. I'll be there. I'll be there. That's once a year we do that. And that's why I'll be there. You know, I'll come and look around Saturday morning, you know, because we have an event. But I believe in family. I'm not saying neglect your family. I'm not saying neglect your family. But I'm also not saying neglect the church.
Right.
And guess what? Every Sunday, every week, we have a spiritual family reunion.
Right.
Every week. And I understand some can't make it. I understand schedule. I understand where. I'm not saying quit your job. But at least make sure that you're here Sunday morning. Sometimes what happens is that we have a Friday night crowd, we have a Sunday morning crowd, and then we have a Sunday night crowd. And it should be, listen, fine, you know, if you want to come Friday or, you know, but you know, we should be here on Sunday morning because Sunday is the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. If you can't make it on Friday, okay, be accountable. But make sure that you can't make it. Don't be over there, you know, over there at, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm on somebody, huh? You know, Chili's and AMC. Oh, I couldn't make it, Pastor. I couldn't make it because, But you're over there stuffing your mouth with popcorn and Coca-Cola. And, huh? You're over there at Chili's. Huh? Well, if you can make it to the house, God, make it to the house of God.
Right, amen.
Nobody ever died off of too much of church. Hello. Nobody ever overdosed off of too much of my preaching. I know you thought you were. Come on, somebody. Is it warm in here tonight, or is it just me? It's a little warm. That's a spice butter. You see, you make me laugh. You see, you made each other laugh. Some of you don't laugh all week. You're that serious Christian. You're like that serious Christian. I'm holy. But then you come to church. You can finally let go. I know. Sometimes you gotta show people, hey man, right? Then you come to church, it's like you let your hair down. Huh? Right? Come on now, right? It's different. Tomorrow I go, and I love my family. I love them. But it's different. Huh? It's different. It's different. When I come around my church family, it's like we all can relate. We all can relate to the struggles. We all can relate to the joys. We all can relate to the Word of God. We all can relate to the struggle that we're going through, man. My prayer was really strong this week, man. I said I was going to fast, and I didn't fast, man. And you know what, man? You know, and then your brother starts to cap on you. Yeah, hi, you know, hi. But you know, it's all fun. Come on, somebody. Right? Man, I got rebuked, man. Pastor rebuked me, man. My leader rebuked me. It's okay, bro. You'll be all right, man. You'll be all right, man. That's good, man. Rebukes are good. I know. What family do I know that knows what we talk about like that stuff? Now look at you like you got rebuked. What? Fasting? What? We're feasting. What do you mean you're not going to eat? I tripped out. I remember the first time I told my family I was fasting. That's Malo, you're sick. Let me check your temperature. Right? It's like, yeah, Frankie's fasting. He's from Frank. He's not eating because I can eat. Right? I eat, man. Huh? You see, Mio's sick. He's not eating. No, Mom, I'm fasting in spirit, right? I come over here. We're fasting. Oh, that's good, man. How many days? 3 days. Praise God. Right. 2 days, 1 day. Man, keep going. You can do it. I don't know if I can do it, man. I'm diabetic. And you can do it, man. You can do it, man. That's how I did it. You know, boom. It's like you get encouragement to grow in your walk with Christ. church has been good to me.
Yes.
It's been good to me. I met my wife here. My two boys were born in the church. My girls are saved. Where's Alexis at? She's teaching. Where's she at? Oh, she's teaching. Why did we about to be exposed in front of everybody? The church has been good to me. It's given me a new family. A calling. A future. A purpose. The church has given me a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. Brothers and sisters. A worldwide family. A worldwide family. The church has been good to me. Because it's God's church. Because it's God's church. Let's come, let's be faithful in church. You know what? This message should encourage you to bring somebody to church on Sunday. I mean, they got to hear these other six things. Because I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're like the committed. You're like the faithful. You're like, Pastor, you're preaching this to the wrong people. You should preach this on Sunday morning. Preach this on Sunday morning when I bring my brother. When I bring my mom, when I bring my dad, when I bring my friend, when I bring my neighbor. They need to hear this. And preach it hard, Pastor. You guys don't have no mercy, man. Like, damn, no, Pastor. Preach it hard. Yeah. But you, it should encourage you to bring somebody on Sunday to hear part two. How many know the world needs to hear this message? But this is where it's at, in the house of God. And it is biblical. And if we want to be a strong Christians, then we need to be in God's house. Did you learn something tonight? Stand to your feet. Lift your hands. Just worship the Lord. Just tonight, if you feel like, man, I still have some doubts. Come Sunday. There's still a lot of good material. For the sake of time, I don't want to cram it down your throat. I could just cram it down you, but then you probably wouldn't retain it. So I gotta, like, little by little. Just little by little. But the little we do get, we apply it. We apply it. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you, God. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Not only do we love you, but we love your church. Your body. Your church, which you died for. God, if you cared enough for the church to die for it, shouldn't we care enough for the church to live for it, to live in it, to serve in it, to be a part of it? Father, tonight I pray for those that may be here tonight and may struggle in the area of committing themselves to the church. God, I've been saved for many years, and I've seen it many times. God, people struggle with committing themselves to the church, to the local body of Christ. There's so many reasons, God, that sometimes they struggle. The most common one is all the imperfections in the body. But God, I pray, Father, that through it all, you would show them the beauty. Because your bride is beautiful. Your bride is beautiful, God. You're making her beautiful. Because your word says you're coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Right now we have blemishes. Right now we have spots. But you're ironing out the wrinkles. You're shouting out the stains through the precious blood of your son, Jesus. We are the church, God. This is our church, Victory Armage Grandparents. You brought us here. If you wanted us at the Potter's house, you would have put us at the Potter's house. If you wanted us at St. John's, you would have put us there. You would have planted us there. Even if you wanted us in Victory Outreach Dallas, you would have put us there. But you brought us here. You have led us here, oh God. And here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, your bride, your body. We're not perfect, God. We don't claim perfection, and I don't want to be perfect. We want to be, God, your church. We want to be your church. The hand cannot say to the leg, I don't need you. The eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you. We need each other, God. Every single member here tonight is necessary, is very much needed to the body of Christ. Their commitment is needed. Their faithfulness is needed. Their worship, their gift, their talent, their service is all needed, Father. Reveal it to us, God. Show it to each and every one of us, even to the one that's been thinking about quitting church. Even to the one that's a non-believer. Reveal yourself tonight, Holy Spirit. Illuminate your word to our hearts. Let us believe in you. Let us believe in the body of Christ. Tonight, if you're here, you say, you know what, Pastor? This message was for me. I've been struggling with the concept of church, going to church, being committed to the body of Christ. Because of different things that I've seen or different things that I've gone through. But tonight, I feel like God has been speaking to my life. Maybe you feel like you've been wanting to throw in the towel. But tonight God has spoken to you. If that's you, I'm gonna ask you to get out of your seat. I want to pray for you. Feeling like, man, I'm giving up on church. You're like, man, you know, Christ, Jesus is cool, man. I want to pray. I want to read my Bible, but church is hard. The church thing is hard. Maybe you feel like you don't have that conviction all the way to just commit yourself to the body of Christ. You come. You between you and God. Forget who's watching. This is between you and God. He wants you to be a part of his church. He wants you to be plugged in. He wants you to be part of the body of Christ. The enemy doesn't want you to be connected to the body of Christ because he knows that he can sap all the spiritual energy. He knows that he can take away all the stamina spiritually away from your life. But tonight's your day to say, I commit myself not only to Jesus, but I commit myself to the body of Christ, to the church of God. Hallelujah. I want the leaders to come help me pray. Church, stretch your hand. Stretch your hand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have a heart for the church. You have a heart for the church and you love the church. You say, you know what? I'm with it. I'm not perfect, but you know what? I believe in the church. I'm going to ask you to also come to the altar, and I want you to pray for each other. This is what you call body ministry. Body ministry. When you begin to, the body begins to minister to itself. Not everybody at the same time. But you come and lay hands on each other. Pray for one another. We need that encouragement. We need that fellowship. It's in the church. You can't ask the world to pray for you. You can't ask the world to pray for you. You can't ask the non-believer. You can't ask the backslider to pray for you. Church can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.